How are you? I got to bring the y'all if I'm coming from Nashville. Hopefully y'all can find a seat, or if there are more seats coming in, I want y'all to be on. Can you talk louder? Can you hear me back there? All right, I thought you were talking to me. It's good to be here talking to you guys, my fellow artists, and I'm very much the creative, artsy type. I just stood up here and just had a feeling that my fly might be down. And I was like, yeah, it's down. So that's my world that I live in, and, you know, just forgetful and ADD and all that good stuff. And I was telling Tim on the way here, I was like, man, I love hearing you preach. And I didn't use this word, but I just figured out the right word for you. He's like the ADD whisperer, you know? He just knows how to speak to us, the creative types and artists. And I just really miss being at Reality. My wife and I and our kids moved back to Nashville about a year and a half ago. Am I echoing? I thought maybe I was just in a weird dream. All right, well, I'll let, it's not a big deal. I'll be all right.
It's a little feedback just because
we have it. Cool, yeah, no worries. Anyway, I'm very glad to be here. So my wife and I, we lived in L.A. about a year and a half ago. Came out here to, I had my photography agent was here and came out to be closer to her and give L.A. a shot. But for a number of reasons, we had to move back to Nashville. So I was sad. I still love it out here, driving around today. Don't miss the traffic, but there's so much else that I love about this place. And anyway, really, really honored to be here, truly. So a few months ago, you know, a lot of times when I speak, I don't feel like I'm the best speaker. And so I made a little video that I'm going to show y'all. And it's weird, and it's handwritten, and I'm going to narrate it. And I'm going to play that for y'all. And it's basically my story and how I came to do what I do. So hopefully you guys in the back will actually be able to see this. But it's a little time-lapse illustration. That's better. Time-lapse illustration that I made, hand-drawn. I haven't done this in a while. It's almost like a live performance. So y'all stick with me because I will mess up a few times. But this is kind of my story. And hopefully I'll do it without crying. I forgot, Tim and I will talk about this in a little bit, but 2 weeks ago, I was standing on a stage in front of a lot of people like this, and I was getting 911 texts on my phone. I was using my phone as a timer, and all my family members were text, you know, 911, call us, and I called them to find out that my brother had just passed away of a heart attack. So it's been a brutal 2 weeks for me, and this is the first time being back on a stage since that those 911 texts. So I was telling Tim I've been grieving for the first time. I've never lost anybody close to me, so it's been a beautiful and painful and ugly and all the things that go involved in losing a loved one. So, but it's also good to be back in the swing of things in life. It's good to be here with you guys. So, if I weep through the middle of this, just bear with me. But this is my story. And I'll have to figure out how loud. I'll change the audio if it gets too loud. My name is Jeremy Cowart, and this is my story. And the audio's not playing. I was born in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. Let's pause. There it comes. Henderson was originally known for Johnny Cash, but it's now known for someone else. I love you, Taylor. I wasn't that smart in school, and I couldn't pay attention. I never understood why others focused, and I couldn't. I was quiet, shy, and average. I wasn't a great athlete or student, but not bad either, just average. I always remember telling my mom and dad, I can't do this. We used to play baseball, and I wasn't a great hitter, and so I'd always say, I can't do this. I took piano lessons, the same thing, I can't do this. Everything I did ended with, I can't do this. So that's when my dad started reprogramming my brain. He reprogrammed it with one simple sentence. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13, as y'all probably know. Can y'all hear me? Yeah. He said this for years, over and over again, to the point that it even got annoying. love you, Dad. In seventh grade, I discovered I could draw. I finally found my passion as a seventh grader. I was also passionate about Michael Jordan. So I would draw Michael Jordan and anything Bulls related at the time. And then I started getting into art. So painting, sculpture, drawing, even drama. I was now winning some art shows and even landed the starring role in the school play. It's a big deal, come on. But when it came time for college, all I knew was art. I could make pretty things and that was about it. So I wanted to be a painter the rest of my life. Well, my parents made a call that was very wise and in hindsight way ahead of their time. My mom said, it's gonna be tough to make a living as a painter. You should look into graphic design and computers. Whoa, here comes those two words again. I can't. Computers are for smart people. Computers are for people who can focus. I'm not smart, so therefore I can't. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's a awkward pause. Off to the races. I went ahead and reluctantly jumped in. Guess what happened? I fell in love. It turns out that Photoshop is the coolest tool on the planet. And it's not just for smart people, it's for anybody. And it was definitely for me. There I am trying to look artsy. So I studied graphic design in college and got my first job at a high-end ad agency. And after a year, my boss fired me. Not only did he fire me, but he suggested I find another career altogether. But see, he was too late. I had already started believing that I could do anything I wanted to do. So thankfully I ignored him and worked for a couple more ad agencies. And then I finally realized that the ad agency world was boring. I was designing websites for air conditioning companies. And it's literally impossible to make an AC unit look sexy. So at the time I had a few friends doing music and I knew how to design album covers and websites. So why not work for them instead? After having the idea, I quit my comfortable, quote-unquote, sexy job the next day. Didn't think, I just jumped. Besides, I can now do all things. I called the company Pixelgrazer, and it blew up. It became one of the leading design companies for the entertainment industry in Nashville at the time. Album covers, websites, flashy cards, posters, merch, logos, blah, blah, blah. We did it all. But one day, a friend said, hey, you should buy a digital camera. 3-megapixel G1. back to square one, I can't. There's no way. Photography is for smart people. I took one photography class in college and made a D. True story. My professor seemed to hate me, so I swore off photography for the rest of my life. I literally told people that I would never become a photographer. You can do all things, I heard once again. So what did I do? I went to the bookstore and bought a book called Digital Photography for Dummies. True freaking story. So I learned about these things called f-stop, shutter speeds, ISO, white balance, and more. And to my utter surprise, I actually understood it all. Maybe I wasn't an idiot after all. And so I went and bought a 3-megapixel camera and was ready to take over the world. I shot textures, my dog, anything in sight. I just took photos. There were some game-changing selfies involved too, of course. Next thing you know, I was shooting those musician friends of mine for fun, and I didn't suck at it. It turns out that the same principles that apply to design also apply to photography. Color, composition, lines, balance. I finally told all my design clients, hey, I'm taking pictures now too. So they started hiring me. Big record labels paid me big bucks to photograph people with a 3-megapixel camera. No lie. I had found my passion, photography clicked, and I was good at it. It clicked so much for me that it's all I wanted to do. So I told my business partner and all my clients, hey, I'm just a photographer now. No more design, no more pixel grazer. Just think of me as Jeremy Carrot, the photographer. So the email inbox started ringing off the hook. I was shooting like crazy. Eventually I landed a big job for a label and ended up beating this big Hollywood agent and her roster of celebrity photographers. So she calls me and she said, hey, I'd love to represent you. work is amazing, and you know how to light big sets, right? And I was all like, totally. But I had never lit a big set before. But hey, I can do all things, right? So we signed a deal, and within weeks, I was shooting for networks like E! And Fox. Got to shoot a guy named Sting, and then Britney, and then Kelly, and then Kardashians, and then Ryan, Gwyneth, and Taylor, and Tebow, and Hayden, Courtney, and Blake, and Brad, and Denise, and the list goes on and on. The old Molly. The immediate success was downright shocking. It was a wild ride. Awkward pause. But was that it? Was becoming a photography rock star really my goal? So my real question was, how could I use my camera to help people? What if I gave pictures away to people in need? So I did just that. I gathered together a few photography friends, and we spent the day in Nashville at a gym giving photos away to people in need. And I put a simple video of the day on Facebook and various blogs showing how the day went. And people responded with, hey, I want to be a part of this if you do it again. And that's when I had the thought, what if this was a global event where photographers did this all over the world? No way, I can't. You gotta be kidding yourself. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So why not? So 9 months later, I put the idea out there, word spread fast. So what happened that December of 2009? 3,400 photographers, 5,000 volunteers responded, and we gave away 41,000 portraits in 543 locations in 42 countries around the world. Since then, the numbers now stand at a combined 50,000 people that have given away nearly 300,000 portraits in over 62 countries in every American state. But it's not about the numbers that count for us, it's the stories. Dignity, beauty, and value, a sense of self-worth. These are all the things being given away that material possessions like food, clothing, and shelter can deliver. So help Portrait got my wheel spinning. Photos can go a long way, and I wanted to do more. So when the earthquake struck Haiti, I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe my eyes, but more importantly, I couldn't believe what the media was saying about the situation. They just kept mentioning how many buildings had fallen down and how many people died. It was all stats. But what about the people? What about their stories, I wondered. So as I sat on my couch watching CNN, I wondered, what if these people could tweet? What would they tell the world right now? But most of them can't tweet, so what if I went down there myself and gave them a microphone instead, a microphone in the form of a photograph? And I started tweeting and found a ride down to Haiti on a military plane just a few days after the earthquake, and also met some local Haitian friends via Twitter to crash with. So we went around asking people what they had to tell the world, and the results were staggering, heart-wrenching, beautiful, and inspiring. After losing his leg in the earthquake, this guy said, "My chopped leg is not the problem. The lack of government is the problem." After laying in a hospital bed for days, this woman said, "Oh, the things I've seen." This man said, "The earth may shake, but Haiti remains in my heart." This is quite good timing with today. This kid simply said, "I wish I could turn back time." Some people had simply lost hope. This woman said, "God, please show me the path of hope." Someone at Hope, we eventually heard there was a wedding going on. And the thought was pretty crazy at the time because there were still aftershocks, dead bodies laying everywhere. Who would get married amongst all this? So we finally found the wedding and we asked them, what they had to say to the world, and they responded with, "Love conquers all." When the project was done, I didn't just want to put them on a blog post or a book. I knew the project would get lost on a simple blog post. People would forget it. So instead, I released one image a day for 70 days, and because of the slow release, the UN eventually caught wind of the project. They printed all the images for a monumental meeting with many world leaders who were going to be making a pledge towards rebuilding Haiti. And I have no clue how much the photos matter to them or how much they even noticed it, but it doesn't matter because the voices were heard. Through a very, very simple idea. That project was so fulfilling that I decided to do it again, but this time I thought it'd be fascinating to shoot portraits of Rwandan genocide survivors standing with the people that killed their families and whom they've now forgiven. I called it Voices of Reconciliation. I just went and I dove in, no plan in place, but I just trusted God would find a place for it. The man on the left killed the man on the right's family in that spot where they're standing right there. And we went back to the scene of the crime. And through the reconciliation program, he's forgiven him. And they wrote on their arms, "Love is the weapon that kills all evil." The guy on the right's father killed the guy on the left's entire family. And he witnessed it in the water where they're standing. He forced him to drown with stones and all this. And so for years, the guy on the right feared meeting the guy on the left for what his father had done. And through the reconciliation program, they wrote on the rock, "Forgiveness releases fear," and they're now good friends. These guys were best friends growing up, and the guy on the left got caught up in the tribe that was trying to kill his best friend. Instead, they burned down his farm, stole all his possessions. And when his friend found out he did this, he said, "Were you really a part of this tribe?" And once again, through this process, he eventually forgave him. And they wrote on this tree, "Still best friends." This woman forgave her now husband for all the crimes he'd committed during the genocide, and they, through the forgiveness process, they wrote on the leaf, "We are all Rwandan," basically forgetting our past and moving forward together. I mentioned that I didn't have a plan, right? Well, I think God had a plan for this project. A month later, he found a place for it on the homepage of CNN. Right when the sex scandal broke at Penn State. It was the leading worldwide headline. Wow, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The momentum now feels unstoppable. All I do is dream, just ask my wife. I'm constantly writing ideas down. And I know that because I know that anything is possible. 3 years ago, I had an idea to launch a photo sharing social network where everyone shared ideas and everyone else did those ideas. Community teaching community, infinite creative collaboration. I called it OK Do This. That idea is now reality. We're not in beta anymore. It's on the iTunes store, so you can grab it, but it's finished. And you know who launches social networks, right? Smart people. People that went to Harvard, not average unfocused kids from Hendersonville, Tennessee. But see, I don't care about rules or expectations anymore. Fear is no longer an option for me because I've seen Philippians 4:13 come true time and time again. So fast forward to now. Recently, I had an idea to illustrate a talk, and I'd never seen it done before. But the idea seemed interesting, and it also scared the crap out of me. But fear is no longer an option. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and so can you. So, there you have it. Okay.